A Manual for Heartache, written and read by Kathy Rensenbrink. Everyone has a backstory. From the moment of our birth, we are accumulating experiences, and those experiences will be many shades of light and dark as we learn the meaning of both joy and pain. Most people have a defining thing, sometimes a death or a loss, but not necessarily, that is a source of grief and often of guilt and shame. I didn't always know this. I used to think a talent for appearing okay and showing a false front to the world was specific to me. I'm glad I know now that I am far from alone in hiding my heartache from other people. Here are just a few stories that have been told to me by friends or by people who come to speak to me at events or who've got in touch with me after reading my book. What these people have in common is that they all appear to be on top of things. You would look at them and envy the apparent ease with which they stroll through life. M was abused when she was a child. In every relationship she has ever had, she has worried about what point to share her difficult story. Once, she confided in a boyfriend, and that was the last time she saw him. He just couldn't cope. G's baby boy died inside her, and she had to go ahead and give birth to his body. She was never able to conceive again. She tells no one about this, but regularly has to field questions about why she doesn't have children. Often people speculate aloud that she cared more about her career than having kids. F had a sister who died. Her parents made a shrine out of their house. As F grew older, she escaped to university and never admitted to being anything other than an only child. She never took friends home. Years later, about to introduce her fiancé to her parents, she knew she'd have to tell him, but couldn't bring herself to say the words, so she wrote it down on a piece of paper and gave it to him on the train on the way there. P's brother was knocked down and killed in front of him when he was 12. As the oldest, he still feels somehow to blame. At a book event, a smartly dressed man in late middle age lowered his voice to tell me that he had never forgotten being sent away to school when he was 7. There was such pain in the childlike eyes that looked out at me from his grown-up face. One of my favourite conversations was with a beautiful woman who asked me if it was okay for her to use the lessons in my book to get over splitting up with her boyfriend. I know it doesn't compare to other people's problems. I know it shouldn't matter to me so much, but it does, she said. I thought I was going to have his children. I thought I knew what my life was going to be like, and now I don't. She helped me see how the way we try to impose a hierarchy on pain is really unhelpful for people who are suffering, making them feel they are less worthy of society's sympathy. The truth is, it's not just about the big dramatic stories. So many lives are full of difficulty. Having children can be fraught with pitfalls. There's the disaster of an unwanted pregnancy, the heartbreak of being unable to conceive, the realization that life with the cherished, longed-for child is so much harder than you could have imagined. Perhaps you have a baby who won't stop crying, a stubborn toddler, or a teenager who appears to hate you. I've often thought we underestimate the effects of work, of unexpected redundancy, say, or the impact of feeling bullied. Often people live with pain and illness, or simply, though of course it's far from simple, the feeling that they are not living life as it should be lived, that something is missing or has gone awry.